Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Brethren, there's a lot of things that are paradoxes, and a lot of people have difficulty with the paradoxes in the Bible. And a paradox are things that on the surface may appear to even be contradictory, and yet both are true. And this causes difficulties sometimes. But it's very important that we understand that the Word of God is exactly what it says it is. It is the very Word of God, a God who is the true God who cannot lie. Our faith is based upon two immutable facts. Immutable means it doesn't change. And those two rock-solid foundations of our faith are that God cannot lie and God does not change. Now, the body of Christ needs to be brought together. And it's going to come together about sound doctrine. That means we have understanding, which is the same because we have the same spirit of truth and holiness in us. Now, there is a time coming, and I believe it has arrived, when the masses will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers that will tell them what they want to hear because they love not the truth. And for this cause, God said he was going to send a strong delusion that they all might be damned because they loved not the truth. And you see, Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus Christ, his name is called the Word of God. So we need to understand these things. And we should know that we are to submit ourselves to one another in the fear of God. We're all parts of the body. We have different callings, different talents, and we need each other. And we should understand that we are to submit ourselves to one another in the fear of God. And we obey those who have been called by God, for they must give an account. And part of having the Holy Spirit of God is that we recognize that. And we joyfully submit to that because we know that we cannot be in authority unless we're under authority. And so we joyfully submit to that, knowing that there is no such thing as a little rebellion. And that if we would not respect that call of God, then we're not showing respect for the one who called him. But we follow only as they follow Messiah, whose name is called the Word of God. And in this age of gross deception and massive doctrinal change, what should a Christian do? Should we just go along with the new doctrines and even the new Bibles of our church leaders? Patrick Henry said, "For my part, whatever the anguish of spirit it may cost, I am willing to know the whole truth, to know the worst, and to prepare for it." And Jesus Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if the Son sets you free, who is the truth personified, then we'll be free indeed." And brethren, we are commanded to test. We are to examine all things and test for compliance to the truth. And the King James Version Holy Bible is the standard of that more sure word which is written. Prove all things. That's a command, brethren. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How can people rightly divide the word if they've never even read, even one time, line upon line, precept upon precept, like any other book, straight through from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21? How can they presume to be able to rightly divide something they've never read in context? And admittedly, they cannot know the context. How can people rightly divide the word if their pastor does not even hold up the King James Version Holy Bible, and uses one of those profane modern perversions from his pulpit. Such workmen, brethren, need to be ashamed. So what is the key to effective Bible study? How can you know? See, we don't want to think we know. We must know that we know. It's important that we know some things. If any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to. So what is the key to really effective Bible study so that we can grow in faith and understand and obey the truth? Well, here are the two keys, and there's two of them. Two profound keys. The first one is James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It shall be given. Thank and remind God of this great promise, and keep a tight hold of it by faith. God said so. Every time you pick up that King James Version Holy Bible to read it, thank God for that promise in James 1:5. And the second key is Proverbs 1:23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and will make known my words unto you. The Holy Ghost will make you holy. And to do that, we should expect that one of the first things the Holy Spirit will do is reprove us personally when we read the Bible. And if we will receive that truth in His reproof from the Word, if we will receive that reproof and agree with Him and turn or repent, then He will make known unto us the Word of God. Each sentence of God's Word is important and to be studied. It is shocking how many so-called Christians have never even read the entire Word of God, the King James Version Holy Bible, straight through, line upon line. Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. It is shocking. And how can you know that which you have never read or studied? Many are ignorant of God's Word, and that's sad. Many would be hard-pressed to prove the simplest doctrines from the Word of God, like the kingdom of heaven or the resurrection or the second coming of Christ, salvation by grace, the necessity of obedience to the royal law, things like the Sabbath, holy days, salvation. It's amazing how few could take the Bible and prove those simple doctrines, like how important it is to keep the commandments, why it is important to keep the commandments, what it means to be born again, or even justification by faith. Many people would really be hard-pressed to take up the Bible and prove those simple doctrines. And there's only one way to get to know the Word of God, the truth which Jesus said will make us free. There's only one way to get to know this Word of God, and that's to read and study it. And when in direct confrontation with Satan the devil, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He actually quoted the more sure word from the Torah. And Jesus showed us how to battle the devil with this more sure word which is written. And he told the religious folk, the Pharisees, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Check it out. Go to the Word. What does the Word say? And when we study with other brethren, we should have respect for the viewpoints of other people. Unless we begin with respect for different views, how can we possibly be as a child in a state of growth, teachable enough to see it and admit it if such a view happens to be right that disagrees with our view? Could it be possible for you to think that you might be mistaken? Even if the teacher or a student disagrees with another's viewpoint or opinion, try to show respect both for that opinion and for the proponent of that opinion. Now, this is not always easy to do, and we need God's wisdom on where we draw the line with those that are seeking occasion. And sadly today, most are seeking occasion for something They're not really following after God. They're not really trying to do God's work. They're trying to promote some agenda that God really never told them to pursue, the agenda they're trying to seek occasion to promote. So the tolerance is limited on opinions that directly oppose. If they want to seek occasion to promote opinions directly opposed to the more sure word of God, that's where the tolerance gets limited. And such occasion really is to be cut off. That is our duty of separating the holy from the profane. We are called to be priests unto God, kings and priests unto God. And the duty of the priest is to separate the holy from the profane. Paul said it pretty clear in 2 Corinthians 11. He said, "But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we." It is good to be simple and plain speaking, and it's far more important to be walking openly and consistently with the gospel than to be admired by thousands or to be lifted up in pride. The lifting of pride and vanity by large followings often in reality disgraces the gospel by evil tempers and unholy lives. Paul would not give room for any to accuse him of worldly reasons for his preaching the gospel. Paul did not allow those who opposed him to gain advantage against him, thinking Paul would not publicly rebuke them. Hypocrisy, sooner or later, usually becomes self-evident. And yet, whenever any vain imagination would exalt itself against the knowledge and truth of the Word of God, the man of God will have the holy boldness to cut off such occasion. Hypocrites should be expected, especially when we consider the great power of Satan, who rules in the hearts of the children of disobedience. We uphold the doctrine of Messiah and justification by faith. Those are two things that we just we don't allow a whole lot of wiggle room. We uphold the doctrine of Messiah and justification by faith. We hold up the royal law of love, life, and liberty as being established by faith in Christ's righteousness. That's how it's upheld, by faith in Christ's righteousness and in His atonement, and by the partaking of His Spirit. You see, it must be by faith. Now, if it is by faith, the works will be there, but we don't let the cart get put before the horse on that one. Now, that must mean that we will test and shine the light of truth of the more sure word which is written on every false doctrine with which it is in our reach to do so. Paul wrote, "Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." I'll say that again. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We should not condemn ourselves by what we approve. We come to a conclusion from understanding the Word of God. But then to deny your conscience after you come to that conclusion, after you come to that understanding from the Word of God, if we would deny our conscience and follow what our conscience tells us is false and in error, that would be to deny faith, and that would constitute sin. Now, when different viewpoints are discussed, it's not necessarily agreement that is sought, but at least understanding of precisely what each one's doctrine or understanding of what God said really is. And some ministers are so heated in their presentation of their views as dogmatic truth that they never really stop to carefully listen so they can really understand what other person's understandings really are. And I've been guilty of this, and when the Lord brings me under conviction about it, it is a heavy one. But praise God. Hallelujah. And then you too run into people who sometimes seem to have minds like concrete. You're running into somebody that has a mind like concrete, all mixed up and permanently set. You know, I rejoice when run into someone whose mind is permanently set according to the Word of God. But when it's all mixed up and not at all rightly divided, and it's just one false doctrine on top of another, and it gets permanently set there, that gets to be a problem. But there are really people, a lot of people like that nowadays, with minds like concrete, just all mixed up and permanently set. And the end, or the purpose, or the goal of the commandment is unfeigned, genuine love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling. And we don't need that. We don't need vain jangling. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Paul exhorts us to be true to ourselves and the truth, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Once we study into a subject carefully, and the Holy Spirit gives us that understanding and confirmation, and we know that it's true, we should never defile our conscience or go against the truth that God reveals to us. To do so would be to make shipwreck of the faith and the truth, and to jeopardize our spiritual lives and salvation even. Serious study of the Word of God is going to have controversy and conflict. That's just a given. We're living in the days of strong delusion, with many dangerous but popular spiritual movements and subtle false teachings. And sometimes it's not easy to be sure which view is right, or even if either one of two views presented is right. As long as it does not undercut the doctrine of Messiah and justification by grace through faith, we should forbear for the sake of unity. And then we should put the matter on the shelf and set it aside, and then seek more information, more knowledge, more actual facts and data regarding it, that we can learn the truth by the Spirit of truth through the Word of God. And we must be as a child. That is not optional. The Lord Jesus Christ said, unless we become as a child, we must be as a child to see His kingdom. And a child is in a state of growth. A child is teachable with a humble mind. A child is growing and willing to be taught. And we must also be willing to unlearn any error which we may have accepted because of lack of knowledge or fullness of understanding of the truth of any subject. And in such days of strong delusion as we live in, many of us have heard many false doctrines. And we have all heard the word of truth wrongly divided. All of us have. Brethren, it's much more difficult to unlearn error than it is to simply learn new truth. And willingness to confess that we may have been in error or mistaken today, brethren, that's a rare good character trait in this generation, which is a generation that literally is without reproof. And we do not go along with every change that's presented to us. No, by no means. The change itself may be a new error that's even worse than the first. Paul warned Timothy that in these last days there would be perilous times in which deceivers are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In the Greek, that word seducer means wizards, muttering spells, or spiritual imposters. Paul gives confirmation of this. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. When doctrinal change is staring us in the face, then a good student of the Bible will gather all the related evidence. He will search the scriptures with the concordance. And now with computers, it's a wonderful tool for us to be able to search these things out quickly. Thank God for that. And we try to search out all the related scriptures. And it's good to know others who have the Holy Spirit and have read the King James Version Holy Bible cover to cover, whom we might ask for their insider wisdom. And brethren, we're blessed. It's rare to find people nowadays that even know that the King James Version Holy Bible is the only Holy Bible, let alone having read it the way God says to read it. Precept upon precept, line upon line. We're blessed that there are people who have studied to show themselves approved unto God as workmen, that we can ask and get that confirmation or righteous judgment. And we should not be negligent or lazy or self-confident either. We must be willing to search for the truth as for hidden treasures, hunt for wisdom and understanding as for precious pearls or diamonds or gold. It's the Torah, instruction, law, the teaching or revelation of God, which is the true tree of life that is symbolized by that tree of life in the garden. Yeah, that's really what was symbolized by the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. The scriptures define the Torah or the law or the teachings of God's word as the true biblical tree of life. And therefore, we should value the word of God very highly, for it is the true way of salvation. God said so. And the way to eternal life, Jesus Christ, whose name is called the Word of God. God is no respecter of persons, so how dare we be? When we're studying to reach a conclusion about a major biblical doctrine, and when some highly respected individual or some church authority or some leader or rabbi or reverend is trying to teach us their viewpoint, we must remember the basic principle that Moses taught in evaluating any new doctrine or new truth. Moses warned us, don't respect persons. Do not fear or recognize the face. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, I think about verse 17, it says, you shall not respect persons in judgment, but you shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid of the face of man for judgment. For the judgment is God's. Do not show partiality in judging. Listen to new believers as well as the elders. Hear both the small and the great alike. Do not be afraid of any man, for judgment belongs to God. How many people, when faced with a doctrinal change, are afraid of the local minister, afraid of being thrown out of the church or congregation, afraid of losing their longtime friends, or afraid of being cut off from family members in the church, maybe? We are commanded over and over to fear not. We are to earnestly contend for the faith. Do not fear any man, whether he claims to be an apostle, an evangelist, a pastor, or whatever. Those who fear men more than the Word of God, those who fear men more than God Almighty, are part of the walking, living, dead, and damned. Jeremiah said in chapter 17, he said a lot of profound things in 17, but I'm not talking about the deceitfulness of our heart. What he said up in verse 5, same chapter, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. This is heavy. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man. Yeah, cursed. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, whose heart departs from the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. This generation, which is without reproof, hates discipline. And here we are, charged with this great commission to to preach repentance and the gospel of the kingdom and make disciples. And here we are in a generation which is without reproof and hates discipline. Now, if you're without reproof, that means you're not likely to repent. And how do you make a disciple out of somebody that hates discipline? What is a disciple? A disciple is a disciplined one. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. The fear of man bringeth a snare, and whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Glory to God. Whether truth comes from a male or female, Jew or Gentile, black or white, from the mouth of babes, or even from a jackass. God did this once for the prophet Balaam. We must receive the truth. As we stay open to the fact that God may send us truth from any source, then we're more and more able to recognize and obey the scriptural commands that apply to our life. Any serious, sincere student should know that it is God's word that are recorded within that King James Version Holy Bible. If anyone would seriously study the issue, you would have to conclude that. What we need is unquestioning obedience to the Word of God. See, that's really what faith is. To know what God said and to have determined to do what God said just because God said so. God said so. God is God. God said so. And that is the basis of life, peace, power, faith, and real victory daily. To study the Word of God with these foundational biblical principles with integrity before God gives knowledge and insight. And God knows the intents of our heart, but most of the time we don't. Even when we think we do, we don't. Knowledge and insight plus obedience is what brings God's rich rewards. You see, it's really simple. Blessings follow obedience. And when we learn to know what God is saying to us in His Word, we must obey what He says. Because it is then that He is honor-bound by His integrity to answer the promises in His Word. But that's not why we do it. No. We want to honor God. We look at what God has done. And He's not just an almighty God. He is so good. And we want to honor Him. And the only way we really honor God is by our faith. Many of God's people today do not seem to feel themselves qualified to do biblical research. And I think some of the fud studs and duds really want to promote this, see, because they're feathering their own nest when they do. So they conveniently, you know, because people, many people, I'm sure you've seen them, there's a lot of people today that really don't feel themselves qualified to do this biblical research. And I think many people are feathering their own nests to try to promote this. So they conveniently or foolishly leave it to others. And that's dangerous, brethren. They leave this task that they don't feel themselves qualified to do to the minister. And then they're actually risking their salvation by foolishly trusting in men. Don't you see it? They're trusting in human beings rather than trusting the Holy Spirit, rather than studying the Word, which is a shield and a protector against false teaching and heresy and these insidious, subtle, clever, false doctrines which masquerade as truth. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. And they that know Thy name will put their trust in Thee. For Thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek Thee. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. So they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. Each one of us who've been born again have entered into a covenant relationship with God. By the Holy Spirit of adoption, we are part of the family of God called Israel. And if you hate and separate yourself from any member of the family of God, guess what? You just separated yourself from the family of God. You can think yourself to be super duper spiritual till the cows come home if you do that. But the Word of God says you are sensual and carnal and have not the capital S Holy Spirit, according to Jude 19. Oh, you are not likely to hear a sermon preached on Jude 19. 25 verses, and my goodness, the false doctrines that one little book of just 25 verses can clear up. It's amazing what's packed into that little epistle. So you better study it yourself. Odds are not good that you'll ever hear it preached. Deuteronomy 29. You stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders, your officers, with all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy wood to the drawer of thy water, that thou shouldest enter into covenant with the Lord thy God, and into his oath, which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God, as he hath said unto thee, as he hath sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. That's us. You see? We're in that covenant. We're covenant people. We have a covenant with our God, and God is a covenant-keeping God. Every one of us who have entered the covenant are duty-bound to examine the secrets of Torah and to straighten out our faith concerning the Word of God. It is a duty which we cannot turn over or surrender to any minister. We are not concerned about the logic of others. It is on the basis of being open to hear the challenges of other opinions and different ideas that our understanding of the truth is tested and made stronger. It really is only if we remain open to the challenge of different interpretations, if we will hear and study, that we really grow in faith. It should strengthen our faith after we search it out, see. We find out what God said about it. Well, what this guy says, that now I need to check that out. And when you check it out, he's either right or he isn't. In either case, you're going to know better than you did before. And above all, maintain the love of the truth. You want the truth. I want the truth. Regardless of whether I like it or not, whether it's good for me or not, I can't operate. I can't grow in faith apart from the truth. We must maintain this love for the truth, because Jesus Christ is the truth, that we may grow from little f faith to big f faith. In other words, I know God said so. God said so. And the more certain that we are that we know what God said, rightly divided, and in its right context, the greater our faith will be. Because God honors his word. And God is honored by our faith, which is that receiving of the truth and walking in the truth. And only by this openness to hear and receive the challenge and reason together with others will be able to recognize the errors in our own interpretations. There's no other way we're really going to see our own errors than by these challenges. See, it's by hearing even different opinions that the truth is tested. Could we have become dull of hearing? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do you have an incomplete understanding of the Word of God? Yes, absolutely yes. Yes, we all do. See, and if you think otherwise, you're deceived. And you thereby have just made the Word of God, which says that we all know in part to be a lie. Can you walk through walls? See, when these people come to me presenting themselves as infallible, I always ask them, well, would you mind walking through a wall? Because, you know, I've always wanted to see what a glorified body looks like. Now, Jesus could do that. He was infallible. And if you really think that you cannot possibly miss hearing from God, when you hear God's voice, you know it, and you're absolutely certain, and you could not possibly have a demon in you, and you could not possibly be wrong, and you could not possibly be deceived. Great. I've always wanted to see what a glorified body looks like. Would you please mind walking just through that wall so I could know it? And I've always wanted to see that. Just walk through that wall for me, will you? Brennan, this test has never failed so far. I don't think the Pope could pass it. I know he couldn't. But this is what the Word of God says. We all know in part, and we don't arrive this side of glory. Could we have a wrong interpretation? Yes. Yes, we could. And we're not going to know if we close our hearing of others and refuse to hear and sit with those who seek to reason together. You don't have to agree. But it is good that you hear, or you will die in your sin and self-delusions. We never do know who God may send us with a truth, or with reproof, or the correction that we need. He even made that donkey talk for Balaam. Hallelujah. Such sin of cowardice. Boy, there's a lot of cowards today. Self-justification. People separate themselves. Separating oneself from those who ask to reason together. Brother, that is sinful. Period. It is very sinful. And it's not a little sin either, because our intent was not for the sake of heaven or the kingdom of heaven or God's glory at all. We separated ourselves. See, that's the key word. These be they who separate themselves. Rather, you see, we're guilty if we do not investigate. We're guilty when we separate from those who request a reason together to know the hope that is in us. And when we will not hear, we are guilty. When we separate ourselves, the Word of God says that we are sensual and have not the capital S Holy Spirit. We are guilty if we refuse to sit and reason together about our possible wrong interpretations. It is right and proper for us to investigate and reason together and hear those who ask to reason together. If you love the law or the Torah of God as David did, you must study it and meditate on it. You don't get to love it and know it as David did and live it as David did. You must also not be afraid or refuse to hear anyone who confesses, as long as they confess, that Jesus Christ is come into flesh. You don't put up with the damnable heretic. No, you don't. You cut their occasion off right now. But when they confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, and they ask to reason with you, the only such justification of separation, brethren, is heresy, see. He that is an heretic, after the second admonition, reject, knowing that he is condemned of himself. You give him two admonitions, and that's it. Reject him. The Word of God says so. And see, this is the only justification for separation is heresy or gross unrepentant sin. The rest of it, whoever separates themselves, they are in a serious state. And it's not a good place to be if you really understand it. It's one of the heaviest things of our time. And people are going to have to grit up their gut and get a little courage. And that's really what it is. It's a cop-out. Every time it's a cop-out. It's a self-justification. It's a rationalization. And it lacks courage. And I'll tell you what, God just does not seem to have a great deal of regard for cowards. The first batch into the lake of fire is a fearful. God has made a covenant with you. And part of that covenant is that you will personally study His Word daily. He's a personal God. And that you will live by those insights and personal understanding that you get from Jesus, whose name is called the Word of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We're called to be a kingdom of priests to our God. And as kings and priests, then we have this unique personal responsibility. God says of His kings, He shall write for Himself a copy of this law in a book from the one before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes. That his heart may not be lifted up above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, that he may prolong the days of his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Deuteronomy 17. See, and it applies to us. We're kings and priests unto God. It applies to us. If you do not reason together with the one who asks and who does confess that Jesus Christ is come into flesh, then you have committed that great sin of lifting up yourself above your brethren, see? And God tells us this, thanks to high heaven. This is one of the most grievous things. God said in Isaiah 65:5, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose and a fire that burneth all day. God really doesn't like that. And David declared in Psalm 119, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. If we love God's law, then we will spend much time communing with it, studying his word, and delighting ourselves in its mysteries and treasures of insight and understanding. And the more time we spend with it, the more we will come to deeply know and intimately appreciate. And you really can't separate God and His Word. It is an essential part of that profound and wonderful love relationship with Him whose name is called the Word of God. Hallelujah. Oh, how I love your Word. How I love your law, David said. It's my meditation all the day. If we carefully research and obey God's Word, then He will grant us wisdom and understanding and knowledge. And if we study and do our homework and research, we will not be afflicted with the spirit of stupidity. Yeah, it's a real demon spirit. Now, I don't know about y'all. I hate stupid. Man, I hate stupid. I just hate it. And the difference, see, we all have an ignorance problem. You know, we're all ignorant of more things than we're knowledgeable about. And see, if we deny we have an ignorance problem, we lock ourselves into that ignorance. See, we're bound in that ignorance. But the difference between ignorance and stupidity is that ignorance is curable. Blind yourself and refuse to hear those who ask to reason together, and you will be blind. In other words, those who do not study and research after God and His knowledge, who do not prove all things, who refuse to hear, who refuse to reason together, who refuse to study diligently to show themselves approved before God are stupid. Yeah, I don't know any other way to see it. I really don't. You see, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And if God wants to reward you, you will be rewarded. And He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, whose name is called the Word of God. Oh, it all ties together. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua.